Baker McKenzie welcomes you to TMT Talk, the global TMT podcast series, focusing on sector-specific issues that are impactful on players in the technology, media, and telecoms industry.
So hello, everyone. My name is Kate Alexander, and I'm a member of our global TMT Steerco. I'm delighted to be hosting this podcast today, in which we're going to be exploring the vaccinations associated with COVID-19 and what can employers mandate their employees to do in terms of having vaccines or even disclosing their status in relation to their vaccinations. I'm delighted to be joined today by Susan Iandi and Julia Wilson. They're both partners specialising in employment law. Susan is sitting on the other side of the pond from Julia and myself. She's based in the US, whereas Julia, like myself, are based in London. So we're going to be bringing together today different perspectives across the globe, not just the US and the UK, but also trying to give you some insight about how we can see different geographies applying different approaches, and most importantly, helping you navigate these potential difficult differences across the globe. So if I start with Susan, perhaps, because thinking about where we are with the US and other multinational employers, what I'm hearing, Susan, pressure seems to be mounting for employers to require COVID-19 vaccines for employees as these new variants are spreading very quickly, spiking infections and hospitalizations across the globe. They're forcing employers to once again shut up their work sites or change their workplace safety protocols. So how are TMT companies grappling with this, and how are they thinking through vaccinations and the return to work?
Yeah, it's a great question, Kate. And I'll just share that as one of our TMT clients shared yesterday, in fact, she said she spends about 120% of her day on COVID and vaccine related issues. So if that's any indication of what a hot topic this is, and as you said, how many of our clients are dealing with it on a day in and day out basis, I don't know what is. I'd say that, you know, stepping back for a minute, of course, all of our clients are very concerned about the safety of their employees first and foremost, but also with, as you mentioned, returning to work and safeguarding business continuity. And I would also say that while every industry has its unique inputs and approaches, for TMT in particular, many of the jobs can be done remotely, as we all know. And in fact, many tech companies are actually in the business of building technology that allows people to work remotely. But at the same time, a hallmark of the tech industry is that these companies have very strong company cultures that are really bound up in being able to collaborate and innovate. And virtual collaboration has its challenges. So there's been a real push in the US in the TMT industry to get people back into the office in some way, shape, or form, even for those companies that are implementing remote work programs, because they want the option, even in those circumstances, to be able to get together safely. So that latest wave, the folks that are spending 120% of their time on this topic, is really focused on whether companies can require vaccination either as a condition to return to the work site or as a condition of employment, with a number of large leaders in the space having already announced that vaccination will be required for everyone in order to come on site. And, you know, that when you see those headlines, obviously, then you have many other companies saying, well, what does that mean exactly? What are the legal considerations? What are the ins and outs? One big caveat around a lot of these things that are being announced and planned for in the US when it comes to vaccinations in the workplace is that many of these publicly announced mandates apply only to US workforces at the moment and are looking at vaccination as a condition to come on site, as opposed to as a condition of employment, a condition of actually having the job. So that's what we're seeing currently, I'd say, in the US with our tech folks. Julia, what about Europe? Because I know we talk about this a lot when we have our clients here saying, okay, that's great, now everywhere else.
Exactly. And, you know, as you know, we're spending about 120% of our time as well noodling these issues. So if I give the mere perspective, actually, from a TMT company leader's perspective, the the position is very similar. They want to get people back into the workplace and collaborating in person where they can do that safely. And vaccination is seen as a really good route to doing that. And actually what we find is a lot of clients want to therefore apply, you know, rules and requirements that employees are vaccinated in order to return to the workplace. So it's not that the desire from the companies is any different, I think, in EMEA generally, but we have this additional sort of two-piece overlay. The first is a huge amount of vaccine hesitancy in EMEA and in other regions of the world, which mean actually, you know, practically, is this the right solution? And then you have the cultural overlay, which is a very protectionist approach towards employees and a real question mark over whether employers have any business telling employees whether they should have vaccines or not. So desire from business and business leaders, I think, same probably around the world, candidly, but actually the acknowledgement of whether they're going to be able to achieve what they want impacted by those sorts of cultural features.
Thanks, both. It's fascinating. So this then begs the question, can companies really mandate vaccination? You know, is it permissible for a company to tell me I have to be vaccinated?
Well, so I can jump in again from the US perspective. So under US federal law, generally the answer is yes, subject to exceptions for disabilities and sincerely held religious beliefs. The trick or the key there is then you do need to look at state law, and state law does differ by jurisdiction, with some states authorizing vaccine mandates, while at least one state has actually banned vaccine mandates. So it's really important to, you know, you start with the premise of, yes, it is possible in the U.S. to actually require employees to be vaccinated in order to come on site. But then you do need to look at the state in which you're operating. Another key point on that is that even where an employer can mandate vaccines for employees at the moment, and this will be a state law issue, there may be legislation preventing the company from asking about vaccine status of customers and clients. And that's currently the case in Florida and Texas, for example. So it is important to look at this holistically and say, well, does it do much good to mandate vaccines for our employees to come on site if we cannot do the same for our customers and clients right now? And frankly, some of these states, Texas in particular, that are currently not allowing, where there's a legislative ban against asking about vaccination status for customers and clients and visitors, it's looking like there could be a ban on asking about employees too. And this is all just moving so rapidly across the United States that even starting from the premise of, yes, it's possible, does require kind of just diligent checking of what's the status today of the law in the particular state and what are the nuances.
And Susan, I think if I sort of may reflect on Europe and a little bit more like rest of world, certainly APAC and EMEA, the position is, well, actually, I was going to say the position is very different in that generally you can't mandate vaccine for anything as a condition of entry to the workplace, of as a condition of continued employment, etc. But actually, hearing what you've just said, the position is similar. If each state is like its own little fiefdom, actually you have your own country, you do have these differences, you do have these limitations, and that's what you see in Europe. And actually, I think a really important point to note, both in Europe and in Asia-Pacific region, obviously it's a generalization, but this is generally the case, is that most health and safety measures that an employer has to consider in the workplace do not differentiate between vaccinated and unvaccinated status. And when you take that into account, then you start to realize, well, actually, then what's the justification for having vaccination data at all? Why do we as the employer need it? So that's the sort of, you know, I think that's an important thing to bear in mind. Vaccination status plays a very limited role in workplace health and safety. Now, there are some sectoral differences to that, but they're not to my understanding, generally going to be relevant to our TMT clients. So obviously the main sector, it won't surprise you, is healthcare. So healthcare settings, you're starting to see countries, France, Austria, UK, requiring vaccination or some other medical information, being negative test or proof of antigens, a sort of a recent COVID recovery from COVID, before you can enter those places. That's usually a matter for those, the healthcare settings, et cetera. But outside of those sectors, as I say, vaccination status doesn't really play a role. And actually organizations, you know, should be wary of placing too much emphasis on whether someone's vaccinated or not, and should really be focusing on, well, in my country, what is it I need to do to comply with the government guidance on safe workplaces? And a lot of that really is still around face coverings and social distancing.
So, Julia, fascinating on that. Just wanted to explore some of the pitfalls here in terms of if you get things wrong. I've been hearing some pretty serious consequences across EMEA and I think some other areas of the world as well. Is that right?
Yeah. It is. And actually, this is where I think we need to bring some of the data protection considerations in as well, because in a number of countries, there's sort of a bit of a threshold question, which is, are you entitled to have access to this data at all? And unless it's mandated by law, i.e. in those sectors that I've just referred to, across a lot of European countries, think France, Italy, Germany, Spain, the Netherlands, etc., you just don't have a right to have access to that data. So if you do process that data, you're processing it in breach of data protection law. You're also, if you're starting to differentiate between the vaccinated and the unvaccinated, you start to trip up on some of those discrimination law issues that Susan already referred to for the US. They apply in the Europe as well. So you have this sort of risk of discrimination of people who are either statistically less likely to have taken the vaccine or simply just can't have it for medical reasons, for instance. And then if you get into those sorts of risk areas, you're potentially facing criminal penalties, including for sort of the directors and managers of the company, as well as civil claims, regulatory enforcement action, etc. And then on top of that, this is such a sort of hot button issue, getting so much press attention. There is the real risk, possibly the more immediate and concerning risk of huge negative PR and unrest within the workplace. So some really serious consequences of not thinking through your approach to vaccinations and workplace safety.
And I would just add, even from the US perspective, where it sounds like it's all easy breezy, you can go ahead and mandate it. There is legal risk for sure. The vaccine is still only emergency use authorized. So that does kind of throw some considerations into potential claims for employers mandating vaccines. They're the exceptions for accommodation that I mentioned. So certainly it would mean that companies need to be prepared to kind of kick in their usual accommodation process when someone might say that they have a disability or a sincerely held religious belief. And then there's the potential for what we call disparate impact claims. And that is, does the vaccination policy itself have a disparate impact against a particular protected class of employees? And right now, widely reported demographic data on vaccination rates in the U.S. coming from the CDC show that Black and Hispanic individuals do have lower vaccination rates than other race or ethnicity categories. So it does sort of set up the potential for a disparate impact claim. So I would say, Kate, while there is a super strong push, certainly what we're seeing from the U.S. coming out of TMT in particular, to get people vaccinated, get them back to work, do as much as you can. As Julia said, whether you can legally do it all over the world, it still might be coming from the C-suite. Let's do it, let's do it, let's do it. There are definitely legal risks and considerations and things that companies need to be prepared to address and operationalize should they move forward.
So that's probably an ideal time then to turn to that, just maybe to share what you're seeing in terms of best practices moving towards this kind of desire to protect a workforce and get everyone back into the office. What would you recommend people should be doing?
I would say if this is something that companies are strongly considering, to first get the lay of the land, really, really understand what is allowed, what can and can't you do, how do you ask for proof, what can that look like, all of the various considerations in the different jurisdictions in which the company is operating. Be willing to be nimble and flexible because things will change, and start thinking through what would the processes be that we would put into place should we decide to mandate vaccines in the workplace. So including things like a policy, like an accommodation process, approved process, et cetera. And then all of that, of course, needs to be thought about in the context of where your company is at the moment. Are people even coming into the office yet? Is it still work remote? Will you be going to a hybrid schedule? What will that mean, et cetera? So that my recommendation would be to really get on understanding what the legal landscape looks like and start kind of going through that step list, if you will, of all of the different things to put into place to be ready to go.
Thanks, Susan. And Julia, we're certainly hearing in EMEA, aren't we, about words such like self-certification or using, certainly in the UK, we've got the vaccine pass now that you can get on your phone, et cetera. I mean, how can you see employers using that to try and deliver on their requirements?
Yeah, I think it comes back to actually what Susan was just talking about, which is work out where you could even begin to think about using that sort of COVID green pass. And there just still are a number of countries, not just in EMEA. I mean, I think you'd be surprised some of the Asia Pacific region countries as well, where, you know, there's just no appetite for using the green pass as part of access to the workforce. But there are plenty of countries where you can consider it within appropriate parameters. You know, the UK is one. There's starting to be a number of countries, Spain now sort of becoming more open to it, Austria, etc. I'm just throwing out a few examples. And so what I think we're seeing as emerging best practice is organizations who have figured out where it is they're allowed to have this data at all about vaccination, even on a self-cert basis, are looking at giving individuals a menu of options that would enable them to get into the workplace. So it's either proving they're fully vaccinated or proving a negative test, typically within 72 hours, or proving a recent case of COVID and thus having the sort of antibodies. So it's that sort of building out a process that allows for one of those three options and in a way that does the most to limit disparate impact. And what do I mean by that? I mean the point that Susan was just raising about certain groups being less likely to be vaccinated. Well, if that forces them to get a test, how are you going to make that test available to them such that they're not, for instance, out of pocket having to purchase a private test, etc.? But if you can get that right and you give a menu of options that give everybody the opportunity to get back into the workplace, I think that's what we're seeing as emerging best practice.
Perfect. Thanks for sharing that. It's really interesting. So I'm keen to now explore the sort of, we talked about 120% of your time that you're spending on this really hot issue. So Susan, how are you helping TMT clients at the moment? If you just give us an insight on that, that would be really fascinating.
Yeah, that's a great question. So because there's so much and things are moving so quickly, we've developed like a number of different tools that we're able to work with our clients on putting together that would be appropriate for their business. So we have, for instance, a vaccine analysis matrix, which addresses the key categories that you would expect around the ability to mandate vaccines for employees and, importantly, also for third parties, proof, implementation, and potential liabilities. We have yet another matrix, which we call our return to office or return to work matrix, and that's looking at categories of vaccine status, plus face coverings and social distancing, negative tests, et cetera. And those are all things that we provided a fixed fee, but then oftentimes what's happening with many of our companies is that they're looking at particular areas. And so we'll work out with them what part of the world are they interested in, particular localities, et cetera, and come up with a pricing model that gets them that information quickly. Increasingly, because things are changing, these tools are being updated on a regular basis for companies in jurisdictions as they plan going forward. And then we also have a reopening tracker, and this is actually a sortable spreadsheet that focuses on all the different requirements that a company might apply if they're deciding to reopen the office. So a lot of different tools that are built, but I would say in addition, Kate, there's this kind of advising companies to think through the process. Does it mean that they need a policy? How are they going to use it? How are they going to obtain proof? What does that self-certification form look like, et cetera, that we've been spending a lot of time doing on a global basis. Julie and I talk a lot.
Fantastic. So, Julia, anything to add to that specifically from a MIA perspective?
Well, we, you know, work really closely with Susan. So these products that she's just referred to, these tools, we are working on them together, you know, to support our clients. And so we have sort of built up a really good understanding across the world of the issues that might come up. And I suppose the one thing I would say is that when we're back to work, the other thing that we're looking at, I can include this within the statistically impossible 120% of time, is hybrid working. So once you get back people back in, we know it's not going to look the same. And yet, what does that look like? You know, post-pandemic, what does the hybrid world of work look like? And as I say, we've also developed a matrix for that. We are the matrix queens, it seems, but we... I think that's the other area, the looking to the future, that organisations are kind of doing in tandem here.
Fantastic. So thank you both. It's been very illuminating. Just in closing, if I could ask you both, maybe what's your one takeaway for clients listening to this podcast? Miss Susan, do you want to go first?
Sure. This was not one of the planned questions. I would say take a deep breath. It is manageable. It is doable. We can help you understand what the legal landscape looks like for your business in order to provide the best advice to your clients. Every company is thinking through this, particularly in the tech sector right now, and trying to get their arms around what is going to be the best thing that we can do to ensure the safety of our employees and business continuity and company culture. So I would say you're in good company. It's manageable and we can help.
Fantastic. And Julia?
Yeah, I would just layer on to what Susan said is for those people listening that have to work with internal stakeholders that are looking to do something quickly and do it now and apply the same rule everywhere, that's to say, okay, we'll do that. You have to do that. Do it with your eyes wide open that you're taking on some risk. If you take a breath, take a look at what's possible, you know, where you can play out the sort of your desired approach, then, you know, you can partly achieve perhaps that global goal. But I do think some local sensitivity is important, both reputationally and from an employee relations perspective, let alone risk management.
Well, that leads me to close up and say, well, thank you both. I really do appreciate you spending the time with us today and a very illuminating topic, and I will leave that now. Have a nice day, everyone.
Thanks, Kate. Thanks, Susan. Great to speak with you today.
Thank you. Bye-bye.